Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me, as usual, I got the Cali Cajun, Craig Wright, and I got Dale Mims, Lil Dice, as he's known on the internet worldwide. I'm Dave Romero, and I tell you what, Saints, they keep teasing us. They keep teasing us. Just the tip. Just the tip. And here we are, four wins. We're only one game back in the division, and I'm sure this is the episode where Craig regains his positive vibes and starts telling us how we can do it. We can do it. I'm not falling for it. I told you guys, I'm not falling for it. Y'all tell me on a day that we actually make the playoffs, then I'm going to believe it. When they come out with the playoff brackets, I'll believe it. Dale, how you doing today?
Those percentages are going to drop any day now. You know, we're going to talk about the different scenarios and the 12 different teams we need to lose, you know, and then all this stuff needs to happen, and then we'll get in.
Absolutely. I don't know, Craig. I mean, and it, tell us, Craig, just give us a preview. Can it happen? Can the magic happen?
Can it happen? Yeah. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Everybody, you open your eyes. Look at the sunshine. It can happen.
Okay. What we'll find out in this show is, will it happen? That's the real question that we need to ask.
Oh, no, it won't happen, but it can.
Dale, tell us about your poll or whatever other creative things you've done on the, on that world wide web thing you deal with.
Well, it is Thanksgiving week, and we're definitely going to talk some turkey, because Craig and I had a little bit of a disagreement, as we usually do. And I want to know, what's the best way to prepare a turkey for Thanksgiving?
I don't think we disagreed on the best. You know, we'll get into this.
Because I say, hey, fry or smoked, that's the way to prepare the turkey. Oven, you know, roasted, that is, it's just oven roasted
turkey. That's for peanuts, man.
y'all out of your goddamn, out of your goddamn mind. So you just locked it down. So y'all have the secret figured out, and all these millions of people that go and bake a delicious, juicy turkey every year, they all just plebeians, they all just dummies. Because y'all gonna go and smoke and fry your turkey. You know, you can make it. If you can't make a good turkey in the oven, then you ain't a good cook. But that's on you. That ain't on me.
You know, when you know better, you do better. And we've got so many smokers out these days, and so many different YouTube videos showing people the proper way to fry a turkey. Like, why are you doing anything else now?
Well, yeah. Let me tell you guys about this new podcast. It's called Craig's Cooking Corner. Just tune in every week. Craig will share.
Oh, don't tease me. I would absolutely sit down and talk about food for an hour. I think everyone on this show knows that.
You know it. All right. The Saints beat the Rams 27-20. We're going to get into this game, y'all, because we actually got a win. There's somebody out there in worse shape than we are. Yes. That's the stupid Rams. All right. Suck that, Rams.
How the mighty have fallen.
That's right.
So we have a 17 game schedule. We play six divisional opponents. That's 11 games. If we could only win one of those 11, I want it to be the Rams. I hate them. I am so happy right now.
Absolutely.
One of the dick of years, we won three games. And if I remember correctly, we beat Dallas. We beat the 49ers. God, I can't remember who else it was, but it was the trifecta of wholesome goodness. If you're only going to win three games, let it be those three.
Falcons?
Well, the thing is, I want to say the Falcons. The problem is, oh, no, I think we beat Tampa Bay. No, because if the Falcons, it would have obviously had to be twice.
Yeah.
So, but no, it was three teams that are like good teams that we beat that, you know, don't lose to the Cowboys. Don't do it.
Right, right. Yeah, those are the special ones to us. We circle those games on the calendar. So
hey, y'all have to understand. You have to understand. I'm from Los Angeles. I grew up a Saints fan in Los Angeles. And I lived in L.A. in 2018 with the no call. And I had to go into the office the next day with all these Rams fans. Oh, Rams, baby. Shut up, Rams, baby. Wearing your goddamn zebra uniforms if you think you won that game. No, I'm never going to get over it. I will never forgive that fan base or that team. Every time they lose, every single time, a happy tear runs down my cheek.
Well, let's talk about these penalties, because you know we got to talk about the penalties and turnovers.
Well, that's going to be a short segment.
Two penalties. That's it. Just two. Like, man, how come we can't do this every week?
I don't know. This kind of is a bigger conversation of, you know, the different. I mean, statistically, this officiating crew was, if I'm not mistaken, was 16 out of 17 crews or 15 out of 17 and least. So they're at the bottom of who throws flags. And so at some point, it just shows you that some guys just want to throw the flags for whatever reason. They're more litigious, or they're want to be on TV more. They do curls more often, so they want to get that, you know, first down penalty,
which is a huge miss, because the white hat in this game had huge arms. So obviously he should have been throwing way more. Any of those overhead motions, all the, you know, clock stoppages. Look, this does not get them off the hook. They have one game. They call it pretty evenly, and now we're not going to let them go. The Saints have been awarded 14 first downs via penalty. Our opponents have been awarded over 30. There is still a disgusting disparity. It's not even close. One game of us not being screwed over does not wipe the slate clean.
Okay. I don't want to get into this, because there's some science behind this. I do agree that. But having said that, when you're a bad team, you know, there's usually a reason. Your defensive backs are bad per se. You're going to hold more. The offensive line's bad. They're going to hold more. They're going to have more false starts.
Stop victim shaming the Saints. Stop victim shaming us. Okay. We are the victims here.
All right. I'm just going to move on. That's a battle I'm not going to win anywhere. The emails will start flowing.
But hey, one of the most important things was zero turnovers on the day for New Orleans. And we are the, you know, absolute kings of turning the ball over.
So, we still did not take the ball away.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
We can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
at some point, man, the defense, I just don't even know what to say. Like, I can tell you that I've made comments to you guys on this show about like certain things I kind of saw, but you know, when you have a top ranked defense, it's like to say, well, that's a problem. Like, well, there's really no team speed per se. And then whenever things start falling apart, you say, well, God, we don't really have much team speed, but then how were they doing it just a year ago? And it's amazing how quickly the NFL changes. I mean, you can go from being a top five defense to a pretty garbage defense in a short period of time. And this was before all the catastrophic injuries, you know, like before we lost both of our defensive ends, our leading tackler, our best defensive player in Lattimore, you know, and we still were underperforming. And it's just amazing to me. I mean, can it possibly, oh boy, whole other conversation. Is it the players? Is it the coach? Do you need the players? But if the coach can't motivate, what is it? I don't know.
Hmm. Chicken or the egg situation.
Yes. There, I think I'm supposed to have takes. I shouldn't say I don't know too often. I do have opinions, though.
Breaking special opinions teams on yesterday's news.
That's right.
Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun. So go over to their Facebook group, check them out, Sports Talk with Friends. special teams. Let's wrap this whole little thing up here with our kickers. They did the thing. All right. Blake Gillikin averaging 48 yards, 3 inside the 20. Will Lutz made his kicks. 2 thumbs up to those guys. Shaheed, talk to me about him and his punt returns. I saw he had a 17-yard punt return, which is great. Did you see he maybe had some room some other times and just didn't take it? Or, you know, what was your overall thoughts here, Dave, on the punt return?
I think one of the things I always said about Hardy is he fielded the ball effortlessly. I think I made that comment one time right before he fumbled a punt return. Is that he just looks effortless out there when he does it. And Shaheed looked a little shaky. And this was the first game where, you know, you realize it's a small school rookie, undrafted free agent, man. You don't just go into the NFL under the big lights with 80,000 people when you're used to, like, you know, 3,000 people at your games and just feel comfortable. So this was the first game where I actually felt like he's starting to feel himself a little bit. He's starting to feel comfortable. I feel comfortable watching him when he gets under the ball. It's just clean catches. So I'm starting to feel good, because I do believe that if he can be, Hardy was a good punt returner, as Craig pointed out. He hasn't been for a couple of years. Shaheed can be a good, solid punt returner, but obviously a much better receiving target because he's fast and he's bigger. And, I mean, you have a better player all the way around.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I know the quarterback enjoys a bigger target to throw the ball to. That's for sure. But special teams, they were the guilty ones committing the penalties on the team. They were guilty of the 2 penalties. So the Saints played, you know, pretty clean game except for the special team penalties.
Have I told you all my conspiracy theory about why there are so many penalties on kick returns and punt returns?
No.
So the same reason that they moved the kickoff line up 5 yards, they're trying to phase it out of the game. So okay. Kickoff, kick return, punt return, these special teams plays where guys are running full speed 50 yards down the field, that's when the really bad injuries happen. That's when guys, you know, break vertebrae and stuff like that. It's dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. And the NFL is moving to that safer and safer game, you know, putting dresses on quarterbacks, whatever you want to say. And they're going to phase out the kickoff. They're getting rid of it. We've already got to most kickoffs are all touchbacks now. It's very rare you have a big kick return. Unless apparently you're Atlanta, because I hate that guy. They're phasing it out. And I think one of the reasons that they're discouraging returns is that, you know, you get the 25-yard line now if it's a touchback, not just the 20. And if you do have a big return, they're just going to call it back anyway. It's a massive conspiracy, and I don't need a tinfoil hat for it.
Yeah, that's like week 11, and we finally had a kick return for a touchdown.
And there have been 3 or 4 called back on questionable penalties.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a good point there, Craig. That's
I always really do. I always do.
Well, let's go to the offensive side of the ball. And let's stick with Craig here in your good points. Because the first thing you pointed out during the game was Andy Dalton is sharp. And Andy is Dalton Andy sharp. Dalton picking on Ramsey? OMG.
I pointed this out during the game. It seemed like every time a receiver was getting off the ground, Ramsey was there next to him. Yeah. And I didn't have the chance to break it down until we saw all the stats come out afterwards. The Saints targeted Jalen Ramsey almost exclusively. They threw at him, I think, 7 times, 6 catches and 2 touchdowns. Like we picked on him. We picked on their best defensive player.
Right?
What the hell is going on? Sorry, their second best defensive player. Aaron Donald is an absolute monster.
Right.
And Ruiz erased him. Ruiz had the best game of his career against the best player he'll ever face. It was fantastic. The O-line held up so much better than I expected them to. I was really doom and gloom about this matchup. I was absolutely ready for us to just get destroyed by their defensive front. And we held up really well.
Yeah,
everybody. I mean, Young had some problems. Andrews had some problems. They're guys who are playing in emergency roles. That's what's going to happen. You know, they've both got beat pretty bad in really visible ways. As a whole, the unit played very well, all things considered.
Doten was sacked three times during this game. So, but overall, you're giving the offensive line a thumbs up, especially considering the fact that they're backups.
Yeah, I mean, we ran the ball better than I expected us to. Yeah. And yeah, one of the sacks, he held the ball too long. The other couple times, Young and Andrews just got whipped. But yeah, you're going to expect that. You're down three starters. Right. You're down three-fifths of your line, and you gave up three sacks against the best defensive tackle in the NFL who didn't touch a quarterback. Yeah, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take that every day.
Well, one of the biggest stats we're looking at is Taysom Hill's touches. 13 total touches here, Dave. Is this the key?
Okay, so is it strange, and maybe I'm the only one who felt this way. Obviously, it seemed like something that worked. But did anybody else start getting a feeling of like, I'm like, oh, give him 20 touches, you know? And then when he got him, it was kind of like, well, why do we have the other guy? Now, don't get me wrong. I think he finished like 1 for 3 for 16 yards. But it just felt like, it just felt you wanted more, but it seemed unusual. Maybe it's just because I'm not used to seeing teams alternate that much.
Yeah.
But it was effective. The only thing is that I want to point out, and this is something I think fans lose sight of. Not every team will allow that. The runs by Taysom Hill, they'll be effective. There are certain teams, and we're about to play one, that I would almost guarantee you won't see Taysom Hill as much, because I don't think the 49ers are going to let you get away with what the Rams will or any of those other teams will.
Hmm. So were you thinking
like much, the Rams, Seattle defense? Yeah, I just think that you have guys like Bosa off the edge that are just too fast, and that's just a hypothesis of mine, because I do believe in some of the comments that I've heard from the coaching staff is that these guys will play certain teams. They're just the way they defend isn't good for a Taysom Hill run. Now, I get it. You just put a bunch of guys in there and run them over. But there's certain things they've said, and I'm starting to see kind of the point where if you have super quick guys off the edge and they can get there before the offensive line can block them, and it makes it hard to get Taysom Hill started. So I'll be looking out next week to see if that Taysom Hill package is still 20 snaps.
Okay. Well, if it's not going to be Taysom, my fantasy team, Alvin Kamara. All right, he had 12 rushes, 42 yards, 4 catches, 47 yards. It's a steady dose of him, pretty much, but nothing just outstanding from Kamara this game. Craig, what were you going to say about him?
Well, about him and about Taysom Hill, they're both going to benefit from having a lead.
Yeah,
if our defense plays well and we get the ball, get the score up in our favor, anything that we're not chasing plays into their strengths. We're not going to have those Taysom Hill packages, you know, running the ball 10, 15 times if we're losing and we've got to try to keep catch up. We're not going to be taking 3 and 4 yard dump off passes to Kamara. We're going to be trying to throw the ball down the field. So it all starts with the defense and both of their productivity. You can't lean into a running game when you're chasing.
Yeah. I'm seriously going to give props to Pete Carmichael, because I'm seeing he's trying to get the playmakers the ball. He's trying to get Taysom the ball, trying to get Kamara the ball. Olave, 5 catches, 102, and a touchdown. He's even getting the ball to Juwan Johnson, who's out here getting catches.
You mean the team leader in touchdowns?
Yeah.
Man, like, has 5 touchdowns. Him and Taysom Hill both have 5 scores on the season.
Like, these are your guys.
That's right. Taysom has a receiving. Sorry, Taysom has 6. Apologies.
These are your guys on your team. Like, these are your playmakers. Get them the ball. Good job, Pete Carmichael, I tell you, man. We went 4 of 11 on third down while the Rams went 5 of 14. Was that a little bit frustrating, I guess, kind of leading to the defensive end, to see the Rams go 5 of 14?
So one of the problems we had defensively in those third down conversions is late in the game when they brought in that backup quarterback. They had a quarterback that could scramble, and our defense is incapable of doing anything against a quarterback that can run. So as soon as Stafford, the statuesque Stafford, was out of the game, they started converting all the third downs. And it doesn't surprise me, because that's just our kryptonite. That's our, when we play the Eagles, we lose by 100 points. That's just what it is.
Yeah, I literally, because I mean, the game was still within reach. And the first handful of plays, Perkins was his name. Mm-hmm. When he came in the game, he started running. He started doing all the things that frustrate you. I heard Dennis Allen talking to coach's show, and he said that, you know, they just weren't expecting that. And I'm like, I'm not sure why you wouldn't expect an inexperienced passer who's athletic to not run the ball. But at some point, it's an Achilles heel that, honestly, I watched other teams play athletic quarterbacks, and they just don't destroy them the same way. But, you know, hey, I guess there's a lot more to it. You just have to have great players, and fast players at all the positions. And, you know, the Saints built themselves defensively a certain way. And that way is not good playing. I told you one of my biggest frustrations is how they took the defensive ends, particular two firsts. And
you really forget Davenport's name, right?
Yeah, now? I really did forget Davenport's name. That's your story right there, too. It took Davenport and just made him a 310-pound defensive tackle that's athletic, you know. So and you expect him to chase these guys down. They're not going to do it. So Passanio is an athletic guy. He's bulked up. Matter of fact, they were talking in the offseason, the other defensive end, whose name escapes me as well. Granderson. He was talking about how when he came into the league, he was 260, and now he's up to 285, and that was in the offseason. So the point is that I get it, and this is what's perplexing, is that's why we're so good against the run, is because we have two big defensive tackles and two defensive ends that can hold up. And you let the linebackers eat. The problem is we're not stopping to run either. You know, it's tough.
So just looking at your division and the future, do you think it's time for a change to design the defense differently?
I don't know if we're not gonna have those. Look, man, sooner or later, you're gonna start seeing in the offseason some guys gotta go. I mean, are we gonna renew those contracts for the defensive end? Although I think Jordan might take a little bit of pay cut. He's one of those guys that would stick around. I think he's really entrenched in New Orleans, and unless a really good deal from a team that's really, really likely to win a Super Bowl, I can see him staying. But are we gonna re-up Davenport? You know, so we might be looking at a complete, like, guys are going to leave, so you're going to replace them with somebody. And what better time now to start saying, hey, but you also look at, man, it's not just defensive ends, man. We like big, tall, long cornerbacks. A guy like a Debo is good, but he's not a quick twitch guy, so he struggles against speed, you know. Although we seem to have nailed it with Taylor, man. The guy needs some seasoning, but, you know. So it's a whole defensive philosophy that – there's too many questions to answer that, because Dennis Allen, what's his future? If he's not here, then that means that there's a whole new direction that we're taking.
Yeah. Well, I still hope we can some kind of way get Harold Perkins. That'll shut all that stuff down.
Yeah, just
that's like 3 years from now, buddy.
He'll do it though, man. Listen, that's one of your LSU homer things that I'm like, yeah, I ain't mad at you for suggesting that. I like it. I mean, you give Perkins like two more years in incubator, man, getting that weight room, boy, he is going to be a beast.
My God, I'm telling you.
Well, we won't be picking high enough to get him in 2-3 years, God willing.
Yeah. Let's see you out there.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming for more BS and Beer podcast.
All right, well, the Saints defense, we are ranked number 12 in total defense now. This last game, we had 4 sacks, 1.5 from Granderson, 1.5 from Passanio, 1.5 from DeMario Davis, and 1.5 from Caden Ellis. That seems to be the defensive player of the week. New Orleans, because this guy had 11 tackles, 1.5 sacks. Talk to me about Caden Ellis there, Craig.
You know, he played really well last week too. It's just remarkable to me that he's getting so much playing time when Warner got hurt, because I was told really, really distinctly that they play different positions and you shouldn't expect one to fill in for the other. which is weird. But, you know, since that's a coincidence that he just happens to be playing more with Werner's injury, he's playing really well. He's an excellent pass rusher. He's been playing much better in space than I think any of us expected him to, you know, as evidenced by an 11 tackle game. Mm. And he's playing really well. I like the kid. He's had some really tough luck with injuries and whatnot. And there's definitely room to develop there. I hope that we can retain him after this year and build that linebacker room with Werner and maybe even with Davis on the way out. It could be something to build around. I like him a lot.
So you're saying that the future of our linebacking core looks brighter?
I do. But I said that before Ellis did anything. Werner has been playing fantastic.
No.
Bill, was that a racist comment?
I think that was a racist comment. Did I just miss it? Did I just walk right past a racist joke? Look at this guy. What are you doing over here?
Yes, you totally missed a joke, Rick.
Yeah, I don't right. see color, Dale. All right.
Sure.
We live in a non-racial world, except for all the quarterbacks that you hate.
Bill's trying to get us canceled, man.
The secondary, we gave up that one really huge touchdown to Tutu Atwell, who's done nothing.
Yeah, we always do that.
Totally made me angry. talk to me about what you saw with the secondary there, Dave.
Man, look, we have two young guys. They set the tone early with like tough tackles, Debo and Taylor. And there was one play where I think Craig texted about it. I mean, guy goes to catch the ball and Taylor just like, okay, I'm exaggerating, but next thing you know, dude's flying up in the air and landing on his face. You know, he's tough. There was another play where I'm amazed there was no flag thrown, but they were looking for the fade and Taylor just takes the guy and throws him out of bounds. And I'm like, he didn't do it by grabbing him. He just kind of physically ran him out of bounds. And he's just going to be so good because I mentioned earlier about Adebo being good, but he's big and he's long and he doesn't have that quick twitch. Well, Taylor seems to be the guy who is big, long, tough, and is quick twitch. So, boy, I tell you what, everyone was really wrong about that. I think we all thought we were settled in at cornerback, and man, we need a safety, we need a receiver, we need everything but what appeared to be a backup cornerback. Matter of fact, even after they drafted him, I started trying to figure out how they were going to make him a safety. Then DA comes right out and says, no, he's not a safety. He's a perimeter corner. And I'm like, well, there goes that idea. I mean, what's going on here now? Our future may not look quite as bright as linebacker, but I think it's in a positive direction.
Got you.
I'm not even entertaining it. No, nope. You guys do your own thing. I'm going to go over here and not be canceled.
We can always go onto Craig's new show after.
You gonna join the cooking hour?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
BS and Beer Media is sponsored by Purple Valley Farms Marijuana. We got that good. Good.
Well, let's look at our pick'em, and we've had a big shift in the standings. Now shifting to number one, Rob 22278. The new number one guy out there. And Dave,
you're I had the worst week now. Ever.
Yep. And Craig, he's making an improvement here. Number nine.
I don't care about this league. Pick'em's stupid spread nonsense.
Good job, there, buddy.
Shut up. I don't care. Accepting your congratulations will admit that I care or that it matters to me, and I will not do that.
Dude, yeah, I had two. Oh, I take it back. I got the third one right on Monday night. So I got three. Now, there were two pushes, though.
Oh,
so okay. Obviously, that's going to fall. Drop is your lowest, my lowest. You get a couple of weeks where your lowest drops out.
Yeah. Take care of everything.
I tell you this.
It's still a long season, man.
I haven't done the lead pipe lock in a week long time. But when I realized the Saints were 4 points favorites, I sent out emergency notifications to all my friends, telling them to do whatever they got to do. Go get grandma's inheritance you know, go to the church and steal out of the little basket they passing around, all of it. And I have some friends who are very upset with me right now. I didn't think there was any way the Saints were going to beat. We're going to beat anybody, much less, you know, the Rams. I just figured that defensive line, the Rams would just destroy our offensive line.
Oh, ye of little faith.
I agree. I was with you, Dave.
Well, in this revisionist history, I disagree completely, and I was always believing in us.
And is anything you're
and we didn't do a pick'ems last week, so no one can prove it otherwise.
All right, well, let's get to the pick'em this week. And let's start off with Tampa Bay, a 3-point favorite at Cleveland. Craig, who you got here?
Cleveland? You want to say Cleveland? I feel like they run the ball well.
Okay.
What's the spread? I missed that part.
Tampa, the 3-point favorite.
Tampa. I can't. I want to pick against them because I want them to lose, and I just know they won't. Tom Brady, undefeated since getting divorced.
What a hell of a stat there, Greg.
Tom Brady sent a notice to every man across the globe. Undefeated since his divorce.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the only men who ever got dumped for having a job.
All right, Dave, what you got?
Oh, well, you know, I'm still not sold on Tampa Bay. It's just Tampa Bay is just like a solid team that'll just keep plugging away and wait for you to make a mistake. Tom Brady, unless you can put pressure on that Tampa Bay offense and force them to have to score. And I don't know if the Browns are capable of doing that. So I'm going to just say I think Tampa Bay wins this one.
I'll take Cleveland and the 3. We got Atlanta at Washington. Washington is a 4-point favorite, Dave. Who you got here?
Atlanta lost their tight end, one of the better young players in the league. I think that Washington, man, I watched them the other day. I don't know why. Maybe they were playing Monday Night Football or something Sunday. And I was like, dang, man. Yeah, and I was making jokes like, how come they're not as awful as we are? It obviously was a game that was right after we lost to Pittsburgh because I was very distraught about the fact that Washington actually looked good. So I'm going to go ahead and say Washington will take a team like Atlanta, who I think is actually better than, you know, we give them credit for, but it's not so good that they can, you know, withstand the loss of one of their few playmakers on offense.
Okay. Craig, what you got here?
What are y'all even doing? It's Atlanta. Atlanta easily. Atlanta and Tampa Bay will win. We will lose in this. They will finally stop the pain. It will finally become comfortably numb. It will finally wash over us in the relief of no longer having to stress out every Sunday. We can just kick back and relax because this finally, the light or darkness at the end of the tunnel is finally encroaching us. And the blissful, sweet silence of hope will be snuffed out. Atlanta.
Sky.
I'm taking Washington minus the 4 here. We got Denver, 2.5-point favorite at Carolina. I will go ahead and pick Denver, even though I hate it. It's a nasty game. Yuck. I'll pick Denver anyway. Craig, what you got now?
Man. Just battle of the terribles. Just which team wants a better draft pick situation? All right. So I have been told good authority by a dear friend of mine who will remain nameless, but we call B-Train, who is going to tell me that Russell Wilson is the best thing in the world and we should have traded the farm for him and everything going wrong is not his fault and he's great. So I gotta go ahead and remind him that he's wrong and the Panthers win because, God, the Broncos are bad. People pick them for the Super Bowl before this season and they are just awful. Their offense is terrible, and they've got a former MVP, Super Bowl champion quarterback that they leveraged their future for. And now they're scoring what, 12 points a game on offense. I'm terrible. It's pathetic. Carolina.
Carolina.
Did you see the chart where it had number of toilets in Russell Wilson's house compared to how many touchdowns? Oh, yeah.
He hasn't caught it yet. He still has less touchdown passes than he has toilets in his house.
Yes. I mean, that's you have to dig deep for those type of statistics. But B-Train is sold on the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson, and he believes in them, and he has a lot of faith in them. And despite my apprehension, I'm going to go ahead and follow B-Train because he always strikes me as a well-grounded, intelligent individual. So I will follow suit and pick the Denver Broncos.
Okay. All right, the big game. San Francisco 49ers versus New Orleans Saints. We just watched Jimmy G have a night on Monday Night Football. I mean, he looked outstanding. Dave, what are we in store for this week?
We are not the pathetic team that the 49ers beat on Monday night. We are not the guys. We have Paulson Adebo. We have Taylor, and we have Honey Badger, and we are about to get the brakes beat off of us on Sunday. That team, this is the team I was talking about. The offense that we have now is predicated on running the football. You get them having to worry about the run, and Andy Dalton is actually a solid quarterback. The Saints will not be able to get away with all of the stuff with Taysom Hill. I almost guarantee I'll put my lead pipe lock this week is Saints fans will be complaining because Taysom Hill didn't get enough carries, because I have a feeling the Saints understand that they're not going to be able to do all those things against the 49ers. So I don't know how we score any points.
Give me over under on his touches.
Okay.
How about that?
I'm going to give the over and under a 12. What do y'all think?
That's hot. Like,
yeah, I agree. The only reason I put it that high is because he had so many touches this week. I think the Saints have realized they need to do it for other reasons. Like, I almost wonder if it's not political. Like, there's a part of me that wonders if they didn't give Taysom Hill so much run to prove a point that it's not going to work. And when it did, they're like, oh, well, so now they have to. There's a certain obligation they have to fulfill to give him certain amount of touches as quarterback. So that's why I would say 10. I went 12. So, I mean, if it makes the gamble seem a little tougher, I'll go 10. But I'll take the over at 10.
All right. Interesting.
Craig, what would you take there?
Over under 10? Well, I think it should be over 10. I don't know that it will be, but I think it should be. I'll take the whole. Are we doing a beer bet right here? Are we getting a beer bet this thing?
I think this is a beer bet. I think
it's
a
beer bet. All right. Yeah. I got over. So 10 and a half. Okay. We don't push on beer bets.
Yeah. We want to drink.
Right. Let's do this. Okay. I'll take the under.
How does that work? Is that you both drink one and I drink one if I lose, or is that because it's two of you, do I have to drink two? Is that how that goes?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. All right. You know what? I want to watch you two drink some Budweiser anyway, so I'll take it.
A king of beer.
Hope you're thirsty.
All right. Well, the official game line, New Orleans at San Francisco. San Francisco is an 8-point favorite. And I'm going to go ahead and pick New Orleans. Plus the 8. You got something, Greg?
Yeah. 8 points is a big spread in the NFL because this isn't freaking college and spreads are stupid in the NFL. No one's going to kick a field goal when they're up 7 to make sure that their buddies collect from their bookie. No, man. Saints, look, Niners are better in every facet of the game. They're in first place in their division. Their defense is better. Their offense is better. Their O-line is fantastic. There was a point last night where their leading receiver was a running back and their leading rusher was a wide receiver. Their offense is so innovative and creative, and they can score 100 different ways. They've got a quarterback that I wanted to trade for before the season, if anybody remembers correctly. playing at a very high level. I believe he's 15 touchdowns to 4 picks this year. Andy Dalton has almost as many pick sixes as he has picks total. Saints win. Saints are gonna just play well. They're gonna win the turnover battle for the first time in a long time. The Niners are gonna have a letdown. We're gonna continue being poisoned by toxic hope, and we win this game in San Francisco.
Wait, you mean we beat the spread?
No, I mean we win the game.
You mean at the end of the game? Just make sure I'm understanding this correctly.
We will have more points than the 49ers.
In real life, there will be more points where it says N-O than there will be points or numbers where it says S-F.
Yeah, I cannot guarantee you which letters they'll put on the board because it's San Francisco and I have a rule against going there. No, I think why not, man? I'm wrong every time we do these picks anyway, so who cares? Saints win.
You're wrong because you picked the Saints. So that might be really why.
This is a Saints podcast. I'm wearing a Saints shirt. I have a Saints logo tattooed on my back, and I'm going to pick the Saints every damn chance I get. Go Saints. Who dat?
Fair enough.
There we go.
Let's hope that that San Francisco, there's some type of they came from another country. Maybe there's a chance that maybe the jet lag, right, or maybe they all caught Ebola.
The other country from Mexico City, they're traveling a less distance than we are.
I'm trying to find some hope here.
And they're going into they're going to a lower elevation from a higher elevation. If anything, they just made their lungs stronger in Mexico City.
Yeah, I think they were working out in Colorado Springs or something like that last week to prepare for this game. So
it worked.
Look, I said it outright. There's no reason we should beat them. They're better than we are. But growing up in Los Angeles, half of the people I know are either Raiders fans or Niners fans. I hate all of them, and I want to see them suffer. Saints are going to pull this off.
I want to see it. I tell you what, Craig, if we win this game, I will change my attitude. I will then start believing again.
That's what they want you to do. They want you to change your attitude to believing in them. Then they'll rip your heart out.
I did that. They've crushed my soul and my spirit. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to put.
They're going to win this week, but so will the Bucks. The Saints are going to win. So will the Bucks. We'll stay exactly as far back as we are now, but we'll think there's hope. We'll start to believe, and then it will be snuffed out.
Oh God. I mean, can you imagine at this point, like we really do get hot and just like win out, but so does Tampa Bay. And you're like, son of a.
Y'all heard me say it, man. We're going to win games at the end of the year and we're going to think good thoughts and we're going to have happiness again. And it'll be ruined and ripped out of our chest. I told you it's going to happen.
Well, the good thing is this ruins the Eagles first round pick.
I don't care. Well, that's, I don't care.
That's the only
goal. Can we talk about that real quick? That we don't want to give the Eagles a good pick. I don't care what pick the Eagles get. It's not ours anymore. We used our first round pick this year. We used it on a starting left tackle who's going to be a very good player, hopefully. That's all you can hope for is to get a good player in the building that you like, that you wanted to go up and get after and develop him into the guy you want him to be. I don't care who the Eagles pick. It's stupid. Zach Wilson was the number two pick in the draft, and he's got worse numbers than Jamarcus Russell. I don't care about who the Eagles draft, all right? I care about who's in the Saints building, and I'm tired of talking about who we could have possibly drafted if we hadn't traded up. Shut up.
You know what, Craig? I want to support that comment. I'm like, at some point, I just feel like the Saints fan just want to find something that makes them feel more miserable about everything. And the fact of the matter is, you know, at the time, I fully supported it. It looks like, now, again, Penning's been injured, but, I mean, he looked like a player. I mean, he was every week getting better. And my expectation is if he comes back, man, maybe even this weekend, if he comes back and he plays better and he improves, by the end of the season, we have ourselves a 10-year left tackle. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, I think people are looking at it like we gave away a pick for nothing. We don't have anything. But what you're saying is a good point. We got Olave for our pick, and we got Penning for the other one. We didn't just give it away and not get nothing in return. So if Penning plays as a very top, you know, a top 10 offensive tackle, left tackle in the league, we got our value. To a 10th pick of the draft is worth that. You know what I'm saying? You see it all the time.
Joe Saints fan is going to look at the fact that the Eagles have a top 10 pick and say,
Joe Saints fan can kiss my ass.
No, and that's part of the problem, because you can have all the logic you want. Henning can come in, start this weekend, destroy Bosa, have Bosa thrown him out of bounds, and the entire rest of the season be an all-pro, and people will still be like, you gave the 11th pick in the draft to the Eagles. What a bunch of idiots.
Yep. And because he's an offensive lineman, and they're not going to get appreciated anyway.
Well, that's true, and that's rightfully true. So, but I'm saying that they won't look at the facts of the matter. Is we have the player we got for that 11th pick or 10th pick or whatever it's going to be, he's awesome. He's great. He deserves to be picked at that position had we done it. So anyway, it's a no-win situation. It's revisionist history. If you're doing bad, nothing they do is right. It's looking to be mad about.
So it's like you said, it's the same as everyone who keeps telling me how many interceptions Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has. Like, yeah, it sucks that we don't have a good player, but it wasn't going to work with us. We had to do something. He's somewhere else. I don't care what he does now. He's not on the Saints. I don't want to talk about him anymore. I don't want to talk about who the Eagles pick, and I don't want to talk about CJ GJ. I don't know that.
And again, I completely support that, and it's revisionist history. We forget about all the problems, how everything was working. You know, it's a constant, oh, look what's going on here, there. Just, you know, I don't know what you gain from that. Move forward.
Yeah. Maybe you're right, but as Joe Saints fan would say, we want to feel better now.
Joe Saints fan can suck. All right, I'm done with this. Dale is just saying what he wants to say and pretending it's some anonymous Joe Saints fan. Joe Saints
fan. I'm looking at Joe Saints fan right now.
Joe Saints fan is on my naughty list for Christmas presents this year. All right. I just want to, if I can get one point out, is it's okay to have hope right now, guys. Like, we're not out of it yet. It's still fun. We just beat the Rams, and all of us should still hate the Rams. So that's a good thing. Playing the Niners, older Saints fans should still hate them.
Yeah. Hate them too.
They were division rivals, and then we had that playoff heartbreak. There's plenty of reasons to be fired up to hate these guys too. You know,
Joe Montana.
Yeah, sure. You know, that's fine. You know, there's plenty still going on with this team. We still get to play the Bucs again. We still get to play the Falcons again. There's plenty of hate left. It's plenty of fun to be had this season. So keep that hope. Just remember, without hope, there can be no true despair.
Yeah.
No. Right, Craig. Right. Well, the way to leave us on an uplifting note there, but is that all we have? Any final thought?
It is. That was a good wrap up there, Craig.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, thanks for the inspirational motivation, Craig. I think I'm
going to go
the rest of my day and be very excited about it. But
get that energy to the gym with you.
And his motivational speaking, Dell Mims and his racist comments. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you next week. I don't know. I'm not even going to make my little prediction here.
Saints by five.
The Saints play the 49ers.
Saints by five.
Later.
Who dat?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.